Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Ball in Our Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Got Paul Mack joining me. And I got Mr. Brad Renner joining us this evening.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Brad, welcome, sir. How's it going? What's going on, man? Good to have you on the podcast, sir.
Very good to be here. I have no better place or time to talk sports.
Absolutely. Hey, man, tell the people about yourself, man. What you rocking there? What you rocking? I see you got a nice t-shirt hat on. What's the combo you got there, sir?
You know, the old Steelers.
Yes, sir.
Being from St. Louis, the Cardinals have been irrelevant since about August. And the Rams left, so I thought no better option than joining my wife's team and becoming a Steelers fan. So, less room for arguing.
So, Paul, I guess what I'm hearing from Brad, happy wife, happy life, right?
That's right. That's how it works, baby.
That's what I just picked up right there. Lesson for all our young listeners out there.
Exactly. Hey, the woman's always right. Let's just be 100% about that. So we just got to just go with it. So
I'm good for about one a year. Good for about one a year being right.
Absolutely. Mr. Mack, how's it going, sir?
I'm doing good, my man. Just, a little midweek and over the hump. But we're here, man. We're here. I was at work today and I was walking around, and I know we're still a few weeks out, but this might be a hot take for some people, but, you know, Halloween's in the air and candy corn stinks.
Listen, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, I don't think that's such a hot take. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that would fully agree with you on that.
It just had me thinking about, like, the most just, like, overrated, like, Halloween candy and, like, candy corn.
There's that. I'll go with you on that. Or there's those little ones that come in, like, the, what is it, the orange and the black little wax wrapper.
Oh, yeah.
Tastes like peanut butter.
I couldn't eat those as a kid because they didn't have a name on them. So I can't eat those as a kid.
It's probably a good thing you could.
Candy corn's like the Dallas Cowboys of, like, Halloween candy.
Listen, the one you described, bro, I'm pretty sure they put drugs in those and put them back in a wrapper. You wouldn't notice the difference. So poor kids just got high at freaking, like, four years old. So,
you know, that could be why I went to sleep very early on Halloween as a kid.
Fair enough. Well, guys, I'm super excited. I know we're gonna get into football, but man, let me just tell you, for me, as a fan for basketball, I'm so glad that it's back. I did my rituals. I went down to my usual bar. I went to go to the Casey's on Central. Everybody like, where you been? I'm like, y'all know I don't come downtown. This is for the young folks. I don't come down here anymore.
It's a young man's game.
Exactly. So I know, hey, I know my place. The young folks can have it. I don't want to step on their Jordans and get in any trouble. So I just go ahead and get my few drinks. When happy hour ends around 12 o'clock, so am I. I'm gone. So so nonetheless, it was cool seeing some of my familiar bartenders downtown, running to some of the Magic fans that I'm really close with. We're actually going to do a Magic roundtable on Sunday, which I'm really excited about. And man, it was just great to walk back in the Amway and see all the fans and all you know, the players. And basketball season next week, Wednesday, at least where the Magic tips off. And I'm just super excited. Super excited, guys. It's just sports. October, this time of year. It's just, if you a sports guy or gal, this is the BZs in October, for real.
Yeah, you got everything. You got basketball coming back. You got hockey coming back. You got baseball in the playoffs. Football's getting to the mid-season trade deadline. Oh, I mean, it's like you said, everything's going on right now.
So beautiful, man. So beautiful. But hey, let's dive into football. Week 6 was basically a movie. So I want to get y'all opinion. If there was a movie title to describe Week 6, what movie would this be? And Paul, I'm going to let you go first. I know you're a movie guy.
Yeah, I was thinking about this one, and I'm going to go with The Replacements. Got a lot of backup quarterbacks doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. Got a lot of teams that aren't front runners doing things they're not supposed to do. It's just a whole lot of Falco out there just making things happen. I'm pretty sure that's who Zach Wilson is right now. Zach Wilson is Shane Falco. And he's just out there doing his thing while Aaron Rodgers is hurt. But it's literally The Replacements. I mean, PJ Walker for the Browns came out of nowhere, led them to a victory. Tyrod Taylor almost, you know, kept the game close for the Giants against Buffalo. I mean, kudos to all the replacements out there. I know there's a lot of guys that are hurt, so there's a lot of replacements out on the field. And it's just wild, man. It's just crazy.
What a crazy win. Brad, what movie will you describe Week 6?
I think Paul and I are on about the same page. I went with Hamburger Hill. I mean, slay, like Paul was going on, if you look through the league this week, look at all the key injuries. I mean, you had Debo go down, CMC, Trevor Lawrence left the game, Tannehill left the game. I mean, there's, like he said, all these replacements. It just looked like a meat cleaver out there just taking people.
Listen, y'all all broke it down perfectly. And I was diving deep to try to figure out a movie title for Week 6. And I came up, A Good Day to Die Hard, starring Bruce Willis. Holy crap. All the contenders going down. All the injuries. All the undefeated teams. The Miami Dolphins is popping champagne again. At 79, I believe, the team that was still undefeated. But goodness gracious, man, it was a gauntlet. Even the Bills almost lost. Like, it was just a... I think me and Paul have been saying it for a few weeks, just this is a good thing about parity, but we have pinpoint like the contenders that are supposed to be like the top teams. But the NFL parity is good because you can't really pinpoint like who's going to win the Super Bowl. It's like after Week 6, it is still wide open who can win this thing. So just a good day to die hard for those contenders and everybody boosting up 49ers, running everybody yet to come down and get beat by PJ Walker. It was crazy. So. Nonetheless, guys.
I guess it's that whole thing too. I mean, you could have went with any given Sunday. You could have went with anything, man. It's wild. It's wild.
And the good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There were so many that you could have really went with. So, but let's transition to
actually. If you were me picking on sports, it would have been like Debbie Does Dallas. Because I was just getting rammed all day long. Now,
about the only good thing that's ever happened in Dallas, too.
There we go. Dallas Cowboys getting the treatment. I love it. All right, so let's transition to the first point that we're going to cover. So we're going to transition to the 49ers. the 49ers lost 19-7 versus the Browns, and the Eagles lost to the Jets 20-14. So I want to open up this discussion to the panel here. What is the most disappointing loss between these two teams, the 49ers or the Eagles? Paul, you get the floor first.
I feel like with the Eagles, we thought this was something this was going to happen sooner. They start slow. Jalen Hurts isn't playing like a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. So they've been kind of one of those teams where they should have probably lost already. I don't think they should have been undefeated going into week six. But their just offense is explosive. But you go up against the Jets defense. That's one of the top defenses in the league, even without a Sauce Gardner. And, you know, as long as you're not, you know, turning the ball over and giving the Eagles extra possessions, you know, they seem like a team that can be beat. And that's the thing for me. But with San Francisco, it was just injuries. Like, their whole team was going down. That game was ugly. It was raining. McCaffrey got hurt. Deebo got hurt. You know, there's just a lot of they missed some field goals. I mean, there's a lot of things happened in that game. And I think the best way to stop a dynamic offense like that is obviously taking guys out of it. And then obviously the weather and the different things happening in Cleveland can do that for you too. So I guess I'd say the 49ers are the most disappointing loss, because I don't think anyone had that on their radar, especially with a backup quarterback starting for the Browns. But for me personally, I think the Eagles have kind of gotten lucky up to this point, and a loss was inevitable. It's just wild that it happened to the Jets.
Copy that. Brad, your thoughts?
Going with Paul too. I think the 49ers was the worst. I mean, you had Brock Purdy, who'd been pretty good all the way up until this game. He only threw for 55%, and his passer rating was horrible. I think that's the lowest passer rating game he's had since coming into the league as Mr. Irrelevant. They only had 108 rushing yards. They, like he said, they lost Deebo with CMC, and they still, at the end of the game, they still had a chance to win. But, you know, they both lost to pretty good defenses. So, I mean, there's not really a whole lot you can say. I mean, a good defense is going to keep you in games, and sometimes a good defense is going to keep you the game.
Big facts. I'm going to echo that statement and agree with y'all, the 49ers. Listen, what do you think going to happen when you start a fight at the beginning of the game and then you just going to just ramp up a team that's kind of middle of the pack? You really just pissed them off. So the most part, you know, now you just woke the Browns up. Now they're ready to play this game. You just gave them a little bit of motivation. And, yeah, I know injury's part of it. They lost Deebo. They lost Christian McCaffrey. But here's the funny part. So that whole broad beginning, you see how everybody's ready to scrap until – Trent Williams ran up. They all was like, nah, I don't want it, bro.
Yeah.
But I love Trent Williams.
Listen, I agree. I want to run up. Hey, if I was to take someone down a dark alley with me, it's Trent Williams. Like, I let him do all the work. But back to the point.
It's going to be fun to see what happens, you know, the rest of the season, because it's hard to stay undefeated. Everyone knows that. It's easier to stay on top than it is to go undefeated.
Yeah.
But so now that now these teams have lost. I mean, I'm waiting to see if they loosen up a little bit and quit playing perfect football and just let it go.
Yeah, for sure. I was kind of waiting for Brock Purdy's like moment, and he did. He struggled the whole game. I know, you know, it's one of those that you take away the Cadillac and you take away the BMW, then you just become a Ford Fusion in the most part. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, Brock Purdy did drive him down the field. But that thing, Jake Moody, man. I mean, a 44-yard shouldn't be too difficult for a kicker. And it just smidgen went to the right. Just to the right.
Well, I think he missed one earlier in the game, too.
Yeah. So that's points left on the board. And for someone that, listen, Brock Purdy did do his thing and get the ball down there and put them in position to win. And it's a learning moment for Brock Purdy. You know, this is one of those that I think 49ers are deciding they're probably going to pay this guy long-term if he develops the way that needs to be. But at some point in time, you have to uplift some of these players. And it's a learning experience. So I'm interested to see if this come around again, that how will he respond? But I did hear that these injuries are not long term. I think Christian McCaffrey and Debo is coming back for the Vikings, so they should be back healthy. So he'll get his pieces back. But
well, the Eagles yeah. already went to the Eagles already went to the market. They just signed Julio Jones.
Yeah,
so they got Julio Jones coming in. So they're trying to get more explosive on offense.
I mean, Julio's got to be what, 45?
Hey, you throw him the ball, he'll catch it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Either that or, you know, they're looking at what happened to San Francisco. Somebody goes down, you got another big piece you can throw in there.
Yeah, he is a big body in the day, and he's a target, so he's got a good size on him. So I think that he'll still be somewhat pretty decent in that offense for sure. So, all right, let's transition to the next topic here. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions. They go 5-1 defeating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 20-6. Now, Paul, before the season, you know I was pushing Detroit, man. I've been pushing them. Are they starting to gain your respect?
Oh, I liked Detroit since last year when they were on Hard Knocks and Dan Campbell's talking about biting people's legs off and stuff like that. Like, I'd play for that guy. Like, that guy gets me pumped up. Like, I wish like I had a boss like that guy who just is just he's gonna be in there with you. He's gonna be in the thick of it every time. He's not afraid to not talk. He's a motivator. It's a young team, so I mean I'm just glad that they've turned it so quickly and it hasn't taken too long to where you worry about they're going to keep Dan Campbell around for too much. But the guy's just a wild man, and he's taken a quarterback like a Jared Goff who nobody really wanted, and everybody said all these bad things about him, and you know he can't do this, he can't do that, and he left the Rams and he went to Detroit, and guy's having a hell of a season, man. He's having a hell of a year. Not a you know, David Montgomery helps too. Obviously he didn't have a huge game, but you got Amon St. Brown. You got some good weapons around that guy, and it's just they play good defense. They have a great offensive line. Those are the keys. And as long as your quarterback's not turning the ball over, you're going to be in football games. And that's a thing that I think Detroit's kind of proven is they can pull away in close games, where some of these other teams you worry about them, like, you know, like a Baltimore or somebody like that, where if it's a close game, I don't know if they have the tools to close it out. But Detroit's a team where they're going to be in a dogfight if they have to. If they have to put up 40 points, they could do that too. So I'm pretty excited to see where Detroit can go.
Okay. Brad, your thoughts about Detroit? And
yeah, I mean, I got a lot of respect. Like Paul said, last year of watching Hard Knocks, Dan Campbell is somebody that I wish I could have played for back in high school. Like he said, he gets you fired up just watching him. He gets excited. He's not monotone when he talks. And you can tell the players respond to him whenever they're facing a little bit of adversity. And the thing I like about the Lions is it doesn't seem like they play above what they're capable of. They know their strengths and they just play to them. You know, you get, like he said, Montgomery running and you got play action and you got St. Brown out there that can run out of the split or the slot. And you've got Laporta who just magically appears somewhere in the middle of the field for a 20-yard gain every now and then.
Yeah.
But and the defense doesn't give up a lot of big plays. They just seem to keep everything contained. They might spring one every now and then, but that's the big thing is they don't give up the big play and put their head down and give up another big play. They, you know, strap on their work boots and go after the quarterback every play. And that's exactly what they need to do.
So, Brad, I know at the beginning of the show, our beginning of the season, we had our division picks on this show between me, Kevin, and Paul. And I was buying Detroit stock to win division. So my stock is looking great right now because initially I took them at like $121.70. Now they're at like $135.48. So I feel good about my stock right now. But now, real talk, man, Detroit is looking fantastic. Jared Goff is third in pass rating. So he's really making the right play. as y'all both eloquently described, that he's got playmakers around him. And so, like, David Montgomery is fifth in total TDs. So, I mean, this is the effect that he's having on his team. And Detroit defense was just straight putrid last year. They was ranked 28th. The total defense that they have this year is 9th. So they made an incredible jump through the first 6 weeks of the NFL season. And I expect Detroit to definitely run through their division. I thought Green Bay would kind of compete against them. So Green Bay is kind of like teetering right now. They're still trying to figure it out with their new quarterback that they have with Jordan Love. But Detroit really got a chance to take this division. For the most part, try to lock up a home position, home field. And they can really make a run, man. They just got to stay healthy. Y'all both mentioned how y'all love Dan Campbell. He's the man. He ended up pulling out a $5 bill at his press game conference. Somebody got five on it. But, no, so, like,
he's a great got five on it.
Exactly. So, the dude's a great motivator. I'm super happy for Detroit. So, I'm just excited to see where they're going to go. And hopefully, man, you know, them staying healthy. I like wanting to make a run. This is what NFL is about, guys. It's about parity because, you know, it's one of those that, man, like, now we're talking about Detroit as this team. Like, it's just a sign because every year that we talk about football, that's just one of those teams that's going to be like, man, that team, we knew they was coming, but they here. They're here, man. Yeah. So it's super excited to see Detroit and where they're at right now.
Cortez is holding that Detroit stock like it's GameStop. He ain't letting it go. He ain't selling it.
No, I ain't selling it. I'm going to start. Listen. Despite my own hideous team, I'm actually pulling for Detroit. I got some family that's up in Detroit, so I'm pulling for them. So, but always going to be Broncos country. Let's ride. But, man, they just freaking stink, which I'll get onto them later. So don't worry about that. All right, let's go to the next topic. All right, the Miami Dolphins handle business against the Carolina Panthers. Now the Panthers go to 0-6. 42-21. So, listen, I want to talk about their team, and I want to look back at this team, and because right now, yeah, they're 5-1, but a lot of teams they played is they're who they're supposed to beat. But then the one game that they play against the Bills, you know, that's a show me game. So now they got the Eagles coming up, and they need a statement game. So, like, let's talk about Miami, man. This is where they try to pretend to be pretenders, contenders, and whatnot. So I'm trying to figure them out. Brad, I want your thoughts on the Dolphins and where you think they're at and this Philly game being a potential statement game for them.
Well, since they just passed my greatest show on turf for most yards through six games, I would say their offense is pretty explosive. You know, Tua's going to have a big game. If I honestly feel like if they want to beat Philly, they need to watch what Philly did or watch what the Jets did against Philly. They ran the ball. They controlled the clock. I want to say the time of possession between those two teams was almost identical, which usually Philly gets up big and then they just start running the ball. But if you look at what they made Jalen Hurts throw the ball, they got three picks. It's hard to lose or hard to win a game when you're throwing three picks a game. Even if you're throwing three picks against the New York Jets, you're still going to more than likely lose that game.
Absolutely, man. Paul, chime in. Thoughts?
Yeah. I think Buffalo, that was just a tough matchup. I think Buffalo was coming off a lot of stuff. They had a lot of chatter going on. I think that was more of a statement game for Buffalo than it was for Miami. Like, obviously, when they play later on in the year, it'll mean something more than that. But I just think that when you got Tua completing passes at 70% plus a clip, Mostert running for 100 yards a game, multiple touchdowns, Tyreek Hill is blowing the top off of defenses. It's scary because they're never out of a game. And I just don't know if the Eagles can put up the kind of points the way Jalen Hurts is playing right now to be able to compete with that. Because, again, if Jalen Hurts is giving the ball to the other team and you're going to give Tua two or three extra possessions, I mean, they're most of the time going to score off two or three extra possessions. So that's another, you know, anywhere from 10 to 14 points. You're just giving away because you can't take care of the ball. So I think Miami's going to be fine. Again, just a great coach team. They don't make mistakes. I think in the Buffalo game there were some turnover problems, but I mean, that's what happens. You give another team the ball a couple extra times and some stuff happens to you. But the way Tua's playing right now, the way they're running the ball, Jalen Waddle's healthy now, so now they got him and Tyreek Hill. Good luck.
Yeah, man, it's going to be fun to see how they match up against this Eagles defense, which is pretty solid. I know they're a little older, but for the most part, I just need to see Miami get a signature win. Like, they beat the team they're supposed to. Listen, I got to watch this for a half where they put 7 points on my team, so I don't need to talk about Miami's offense. I know how fantastic they are. So, like, but I do believe Miami is a dang good team. I thought for sure, like, the Buffalo and Miami game would have been closer. I think Paul was right about the point where maybe Buffalo had added motivation. So they just – it was a little bit more for them since there was a lot of chatter going on with them. But Miami need this win, man. Like, they – and they can beat Philly, as we all agree that Philly's kind of been – you know, they just seem like there's – they're not as dominant as there was last year. And so this is a real good chance for Miami to come in with that top-ranked offense that they have in the league. They're number one offense in the league, thanks to their coaching staff and whatnot. But I do believe that they can try to go ahead and pull this out. I think McDaniel's done a fantastic job with that offense. At Chain, they drafted him. That dude is coming on. Like, they look pretty good. And as y'all mentioned, they're getting healthy on the slots. Jalen Ramsey is supposed to come back to that defense that's like middle of the pack. I know he's tweeted some pictures like he's hinting at a comeback here soon. So that can only help them. I know their defense is a little bit older, but they need – I think they need this win against Philly just to have a big statement win on their resume for sure. So, all right, let's quickly dive into Monday Night Football here. Dallas edges the Chargers 20-17. I mean, this game – just give me your thoughts on this game. Brad, go ahead. What's your thoughts about this game between the Chargers and the –
I think it's
Dallas Cowboys.
It just came down to who wanted it more. I mean, Dallas made the Chargers one dimensional very quick in that game. They shut down Eckler. You shut down Eckler, they're going to play action. And they were getting after Herbert every single play. It seemed like somebody was hitting him. They kept Parsons out of the backfield for a while, but eventually that man's going to find his way, just like TJ. He's going to find his way back there. And, I mean, they got so many good pass rushers up front that I forget which off or defensive lineman it was, but there was like five straight plays that he was in the backfield. And it seemed like he was in the backfield before the quarterback had that snap.
Jeez.
But it was just the Chargers defense, some of their backs, and that defensive secondary look lost at times. And then it didn't help, you know, that turnover on fourth and goal where you could have had 3 points, tried to take it to overtime. Instead, you go for the win, and then you got to try and fight and get the ball back. They're late at the end of the game, and what's Herbert do? Threw a pick. Game over.
Paul, your quick thoughts on Monday Night Football?
I mean, Dak got the ball to his playmakers. CeeDee Lamb had over 100 yards receiving. Tony Pollard had over 100 yards combined between rushing and running the ball. So, I mean, the defense showed up late. The game stayed close. When you have a great defense like Dallas does have, I mean, close games are going to benefit them because the ball's going to bounce one way or the other. It's just when they get behind and you need Dak Prescott to throw the ball 40, 50 times, it's probably not a good look. But they were able to establish the run. Pollard had 15 carries. He didn't get very far, but he had 15 carries. You know, Dak actually ran 7 times, which was more than he's run in weeks.
He was Dallas's leading rusher.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were talking about it last week, how Dak Prescott seems like he can't extend drives, and he's not running on third downs, but he ran for 40 yards. He's extending drives, keeping drives alive, getting crucial first downs when he had to. Chargers stink, though. So,
I mean, it's bad when you have a home game and there's more visiting fans than your own fans.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, it's not a quality win. No, but like, was it an important win for Dallas coming off of that onslaught the week before? Sure, shows they have a little resilience. But you know, I thought it probably should have been that close. But like I said, kudos to them, and the defense stepped in when they needed to. Micah Parsons made some big plays, had a big interception at the end of the game. But that was the Chargers game to lose, and they gave it away.
Let me say this. I am going to start us off with that. Listen, whenever AFC West team lose, I'm freaking happy. So, like, the Chargers, like, to see them lose is just freaking fantastic. It's like, can't stand them. But I will admit, just from a just an outsider's perspective, they're supposed to be better than what they are. It's really disappointing to see, like, the Chargers that have all that talent, for them to be a middling team and be down there in the gutter with the Broncos. Cause I just know for sure. I felt like the Chargers was going to be the one that compete with the Chiefs in that division. Like off rip, they have so much talent, and I'm just trying to just trying to dissect them right now. They're just in a weird place. And it's one of those that I'm really just trying to definitely just what is up with them. Cause that game was definitely there for them to win. And so, once again, let me state that I'm glad that they're struggling. But it's still weird just because I know that that team has a lot of talent on it, and they really shouldn't be, like, under 500. That team shouldn't be under 500. So, all right, well, now it's time to dissect in our own teams with that transition. I don't talk about, well, some of our teams that are stinking. But for the most part, let's go ahead and assess our own team performance this week. And I know Brad's team was on a bye, but I still want him to talk about his Steelers, man. So, you know, the new guest that's on the show, I'm going to go ahead and let him dissect his team and what he thinks is coming up next for his football team. So, Brad, take the floor, my man.
Well, hopefully on this bye week, they got that offensive line to solidify and gel a little bit. Mostly new pieces. It's a couple rookies sprinkled in there. They haven't seemed to be able to get that run game going at all, which, you know, limits play action, limits bootleg, just lets the defense tee off on your offense, and you know what happens when that happens. Yep. They got to get their tight ends involved. I know they got that Darnell Washington from Georgia, who looks like a giant amongst men out there, and I don't think he's caught more than 5 or 6, if that, or even been targeted that much. I mean, you got a body that big to throw it up, let him get it. You got all these wide receiver weapons. I mean, Deontay Johnson, I think I saw he's coming back this week off IR, which would be good. But, I mean, you've got a lot of mouths to feed out there on the outside. It's just giving Pickett time to get it out there. But I love hearing Pickett to Pickens. I can hear that all game long. But you got to get the other guys involved to free up that combo.
Do you have any worries about the Matt Canada?
Oh, play God.
Calling in the, are you on the Blame Canada train? Are you doing a South Park movie right now and just blaming Canada for everything?
Yes and no. I think most of it is Canada, but your quarterback's got to be able to check out of those horrible plays that he knows he's about to run. Because there's, I forget what team they played earlier this year, but Pickett threw a pick to Calvin Austin down in the middle of the field in the, I think with Nelson after the game, said, I knew exactly what play was coming by the formation they had set up. So I just ran to the spot. So they got to quit being predictable. They, you know, it seemed to run on first down, get 2 yards, run on second down, get stopped, pass on third down. It's just too many three and outs. They've got to put a drive together because that defense, as strong as it is, I mean, when you're out there, you get 2 minutes off per series. You ain't got time to recover. And back out there, and the team's running the ball, and you're wearing time off the clock. And If it wasn't for the defense, we wouldn't have three wins.
Wow. Paul, you want to break down your Giants?
I mean, is there G-man? It was closer than I thought it was going to be. That's for sure. I was a little confused. I was kind of watching it on my iPad while I was doing something else, and I saw they were in field goal range before the half, and somehow didn't get a field goal off. So it seems like time management was a big issue. I don't know if that would have made a difference or not, but I mean, you only gave up 14 points to Buffalo. Defense showed up. Tyrod Taylor didn't play terrible. You know, they fed Saquon. They did what they were supposed to do. Just the difference is last year they were winning games like this. So am I happy to see them in a closer game against a team like Buffalo? I mean, is that technically a win for them? Are they kind of turning the right direction? I'm not sure. Is there a quarterback controversy now between Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor? Who knows? You paid that guy a lot of money. I know he's dealing with a little neck situation, so he's trying to be back this week. But, I mean, let Tyrod play. I mean, the offense I don't think changes much because they're kind of similar. They could both run. Tyrod can throw. He doesn't seem to turn the ball over. So there's always that you don't got to worry about. But, you know, I mean, they had quite a few guys got in on the action as far as catching balls. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 7 guys catch a pass. So, I mean, good to see Darren Waller show up a little bit. He had 5 catches. Darius Slayton had 4 catches, 69 yards. They just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. And that's the thing is you're not going to win many games when you can't get the ball in the red zone, in the end zone. And you had plenty of opportunities in the red zone, and all you got was 3 field goals. So, you know, it is what it is. Do I think they still stink? Yeah. But it's not as bad when you go up against Buffalo in a game that I thought they were going to get absolutely manhandled in. And they held their own with a backup quarterback in the game. Good to see him feed Saquon 24 times. So that shows just if only they did that when Daniel Jones is in the game instead of having Daniel Jones throw the ball a million times. But, I mean, Saquon had 28 total touches. So, I mean, things are going to happen there. You just want to see him get in the end zone. But defense played well. Just another Giants loss.
What you think about that call to end the game that was possibly missed?
It doesn't matter. It shouldn't come to those kind of things, man. You gotta win football games. You can't let it come down to a call at the end of the game. Like you were right there with them the whole game. You had plenty of opportunities. I'm not gonna worry about a call at the end of the game that they may have missed because you were in that game the entire second half and you just couldn't make a play. So it is what it is.
All right. Big facts. All right. Well, let me lean over here. And as you see that jersey hanging up, because I just want to reminisce the good old days when number 58 was in a Broncos uniform. You know, I'm just so used to seeing a bad defense. But the defense showed up, oddly enough, against the Chiefs. And I think because they know the Chiefs, they play the Chiefs pretty well because they play them twice. Pat Mahomes, he still went off in the second half. But for the most part, they neutralized him a little bit in the first quarter. They ended up being 19 sits. But at the end of the day, you know, Chiefs is doing this whole thing where the Bears and the Packers, where the Packers just kind of own the Bears. This is what the Chiefs is doing to the Broncos. Like, I can't remember the last time we beat the Chiefs. I just can't. It's the Chiefs just own us. And I like when we play them, I just get hurt, man, because I'm just like, we just can't beat them. We just cannot beat them. And they are just better than us in just mostly everything. And so just a little glimmer of hope. Like, if we would have beat the Chiefs, that would have made my whole season. Like, that's it. Like, that's my Super Bowl. I do not care. Like, you just got to beat the Chiefs. At the end of the day, listen, Pat Mahomes put up 306 yards, a very quiet 306 yards. Justin Simmons seemed to do well against Pat Mahomes. I think that's his fourth career interception against Pat Mahomes. But usually he finds a way to get an interception off Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes don't really gamble like that, but Justin Simmons can read him. Listen, at the end of the day, I know the trade deadline's coming up here. For the Broncos, just keep Javonte Williams and pass the 10 to second. And just get Cortland Sutton to a new home. Get Jerry Jeudy to a new home. Get Justin Simmons, for the love of God. I love that guy.
but there's no reason he should not be playing for the Broncos. He needs to be winning. He plays winning football, and he should not be on this team anymore. Just trade the guy and do right by him. And listen, salute him. I will always root for the guy wherever he goes. But Justin Simmons needs to go play for a winning football team because the Broncos is not it. We got the Green Bay Packers coming up next. I know they've been struggling a little bit. But, hey, don't worry. Green Bay is still around for about 250 yards because our run defense just flat out stinks. It just stinks. It's terrible. So, who knows what's happening. If you got FanDuel or Underdog, shout out to Paul Mack. If you got Underdog, play the Green Bay running backs. Just play them against the Broncos because you're going to win some money. Anywho, I'm all worrying about the Broncos.
You sound about like me when it comes to the run defense. I mean, I feel like the Steelers, if you had your passing defense, we got that under control. But run defense, they 5 yards behind us before we even turn around to see them.
Dude, it is terrible, man. I'm just over the Broncos just run defense. And it was our strong suit last year, and it's not even remotely close to being good anymore. So,
and if Jerry Judy's looking for a job, don't use Steve Smith as a reference on your resume, because you don't want him to take that phone call.
That's about entertaining. I have a Broncos season, Jerry Judy and Steve Smith beef. But you know, Steve Smith's a high head anyway, so he's going to respond. Steve Smith doesn't do anything mild manner. So, just fire on fire in that interaction there. So, yeah, Steve Smith should have just been like, handle it. But listen, I get that he's a legend, but Jerry Judy over here singing a rap song and acting all belligerent. I don't know, man. Like, just get Jerry Judy somewhere.
You're almost acting like Steve Smith never had an attitude when you played in the NFL.
Big fast. Yeah. So, hey, it is what it is. All right. This is a fun thing we like to do. So, Brad, get ready for this segment here. This is the player of the week. Who are you inviting to the barbecue? Putting some ribs on the grill, some barbecue chicken. Who is getting invited to the barbecue? And you know what? Paul, show them how it's done so Brad can go ahead and follow that suit. So who's invited to the barbecue? What you cooking for him?
I'm bringing my man Jared Goff to the barbecue. My man Jared Goff, like Cortez said, guys, top five in passer rating. He's playing out of this world. He finished 30 of 44 for 353 and 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. Dominant performance against Tampa Bay, who was 3-1 coming off a bye. Detroit's showing that they can win big games, and they beat Kansas City to start the year off. They're not going to not show up when the lights come on. So just kudos to Jared Goff. David Montgomery didn't have a great game, but Jared Goff said, it don't matter. I got this. Don't worry about it, pal. I got you. And that guy just made Baker – I know Baker Mayfield is probably still riding the high from college football weekend. I don't know. But Jared Goff can come over. He can bring Dan Campbell. I'll throw a foot on the grill for Dan Campbell. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. He can take a bite out of it.
Nice. Brad, your first ever who invited to the barbecue. Who's your player of the week, sir? And tell me what you're cooking for your player of the week, sir.
Well, I'm gonna go with some good old St. Louis style ribs. But I just gotta make sure my wife doesn't hear me say this, because I'm gonna go with PJ Walker from the Browns.
Ooh.
Browns.
The Browns. I mean, going from an XFL player from 2020 to a third string NFL player, you come in and you beat an undefeated team at home in the rain, in the cold. I don't see why he has to be my pick.
Absolutely. We're going to create the Shane Falco the Shane Falco replacement of the week award. And it can go to PJ Walker.
PJ
there
Walker.
You go. Hey,
the
there
Falco
you go.
Award.
Nice.
Replacement of the week.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. So my player of the week, I'm gonna invite to the barbecue. Listen, man, I got some slow cooked chicken on the grill right now. Got some pulled pork in the slow cooker. I'm gonna go different, man. I'm gonna go a defensive player. Shout out to Martin Emerson, the cornerback for the Browns.
6 tackles and 1 interception, neutralizing that 49ers offense that's ranked 2nd in the NFL, that's just been putting points on people. I know they had some injuries, but hey, guess what? Take advantage of your opportunities and make things happen. Get your team good field positioning. Time possession of the clock. Defense is important to that. So, Marvin Emerson, pull up, bro. Come pull up in your Rolls Royce. Got a nice plate waiting for you, my boy. Get the rings on there too, man. Carolina grub barbecue sauce. Let's run it. All right. So, our top 5 teams. So, I want y'all to do y'all top 5 teams, who y'all got being y'all top 5 teams in NFL up to going into week 7. Paul, you go first. Who is your top 5 teams in the NFL?
I'm going to put Detroit 1. I'll do Kansas City 2. 49ers 3, just because they're hurt. I don't know where they're going to be at after next week. So I'll put them at 3. I still think Baltimore's good. So I'll do Philly 4 and then Baltimore 5. Oh, no, sorry, Miami 2. What about Miami? So Detroit, Miami, Kansas City, Philly, and Baltimore.
Brad, your first top 5 in the BLC podcast. Who you got, sir?
See, I'm going with Kansas City 1. They're rolling now. They're cooking. And you got the Swifties. Can't forget the Swifties
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
This guy gets it.
You got Miami at number 2. And I've got Eagles and 49ers at, 3 and 4. But I feel like those two could be flipped. They're interchangeable. And then, the Lions, I feel like if they need 1 or 2 more good teams to beat before they jump up on my rankings.
Gotcha. All right. Number 5, I'm going with Miami. Number 4, I'm going to go with Philadelphia. Number 3 is the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers. I know they lost, but they still top 1 of the top teams, of course. I'm not going to kick them out the top 5. Kansas City, much of that pain me to say, they're number 2. And then, of course, number 1, let me change my hat right quick. Hold up.
The Tigers?
Shout out. I know not the Tigers, but I'm just representing Detroit. I don't have a Lions hat, but I'm representing Detroit. So shout out to Detroit Rock City. Shout out to the family out there. I got my big brother.
And shout out 8 Mile.
Yeah, shout out 8 Mile. Please do not go to Mom's Spaghetti. That spaghetti shop is just horrendous. I tried it. You want $8 for a carton of spaghetti and 3 meatballs and a half cut of Cuban bread with just butter and garlic flakes on it is terrible. But wait, besides
are you telling me that it stinks?
Mom's spaghetti stinks, just like the like the Denver Broncos. So anywho, shout out to the Paul family, the Washington family up in Detroit, Illa City, Detroit Rock City. Eminem just celebrated a birthday. Shout out to him, even though your spaghetti shop sucks. Besides that, nonetheless. Detroit, not the Lions, but I'll just write the D because I'm not wearing any other football hat besides the Broncos, which I mentioned they stink, by the way. But I'm still going to write the Detroit Tigers, so shout out to them. And Detroit is on my top ranking there. So, y'all changed how in the middle of the podcast. That's right. This is what we do here. We at live, so let's go.
For those that ain't watching, Cortez now has a huge D on his forehead right now.
Yeah, buddy. I don't know, this and spaghetti, we might hear Cortez Paul and Eminem's next diss track. Yeah,
that's it.
Pause.
Yeah. He's got the Russell Wilson head right now. Big old D on it.
Who's this fat black man talking about my spaghetti shot? Oh, come on, M. Dang, bro. You take stabs at me? Okay, I see how it is. All right. So, listen, let's transition into the KC's Week 7 picks. And Paul, I'm going to let you take over. Let me see if I can pull up my screen here. And while you go ahead and do that.
All right. First of all, let's recap last week. So last week, my man Cortez cooled off a little bit, finished the week 8-6. I also went 8-6. And Mr. Kevin Carter from Beyond the Grave went 9-5. So big win for Kevin Carter going 9-5. Big winner. So our year-to-date standings, Kevin and I are tied at 53-39. And Mr. Cortez Paul still holds the lead at 56 wins, 36 losses.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go. Now we get Brad. Hey, listen, we're going to do it this way. We're going to recap Brad. Brad is going to be versus KC. We're going to see how he stacks up, and we're going to recap it next week. So Brad Pitt is going to be versus Kevin Carter. So we'll see how that goes. So let's run it. All right. You ready, Brad? A lot of pressure.
Thursday night football. 4-2 Jacksonville Jaguars versus the 3-3 New Orleans Saints.
Ooh.
I'm going to go – looking at right now at New Orleans. I'm going to go New Orleans.
Kevin's upset.
Kevin is upset. He's a Jags fan. Is Trevor Lawrence cleared? Is he playing or no?
Day to day. He said his knee's getting exponentially better each day. So we'll see what happens.
You know what? Duval. I got Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville's clicking on all cylinders right now. I mean, ETN's playing out of this world. Defense is coming up. So I think that New Orleans is a team that potentially could turn the ball over. So I'll take Jacksonville.
Copy that.
Next game, first 1 o'clock game, the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Chicago Bears. I believe Jimmy Garoppolo is out for this game. He left still last week with a back, so I don't know.
They're still playing the Bears. I'm going to go with Las Vegas.
Unfortunately, the Raiders will win this game.
I'm still on the Bears train, man. I'm going to take Chicago. They could have won against the Vikings last week, but I think they got this one against Raiders. I'm going to go with Chicago.
Hey, Paul, did you pull out Kevin's picks?
Yeah. Kevin went with Jacksonville the first game, and Kevin's also taking Chicago.
Okay.
So we're split down the road, 2-2, two Raiders, two Bears. All right, next up, coming off a big win versus the 49ers, the Cleveland Browns are at the Colts.
Let's see, I'm going to go Richardson's out.
Indefinitely.
Garner Minshew didn't look like he was.
He looked like Garner Minshew.
So I'm going to go Cleveland.
Browns a win. Deshaun Watson is still on the fence.
It's okay, man. PJ Walker, baby. Don't worry about it.
Or is Deshaun Watson still at massage parlors?
I mean, he'll get whatever. Out. He'll get whatever's on. He'll get those kinks worked out. He'll be okay.
Maybe get that Chargers fan that was screaming on the TV on Monday Night Football.
Apparently, she's a massive Vikings fan, too. So she got a team in each division.
She's not a real person. She's made up.
She's a bot. She's a Twitter bot. That's what
she's like those characters in Madden. She's just in the crowd at every stadium. She's just a Madden character that just wears whatever team's playing the home
but
team.
Inside
the amped up expressions.
But inside school, what I also heard about her, too, because she was on the Pat McAfee show, is that she was rocking Adam Thielen jersey because her son's football team was the Vikings, and she claims to be a Charger fan. This is just what I heard, but nonetheless, it was just weird how they just put the camera on her. But nonetheless, the Chargers sucked, so I'm glad they lost, so she got to feel agony. So she was for a team in the division. So,
jeez, whatever. What did she do to you, man? Jesus, dude.
She's still getting her 15 minutes of fame.
Hey, more than I want. That's probably why I'm jealous.
I think so.
It's always got to be cute soccer moms. It can't be the chubby black guy getting freaking shine. It's messed up.
They're always holding you back, bro.
Yeah. Back to
so
NFL.
You're taking Cleveland?
Yes, I'm taking Cleveland.
Right, Kev is also taking Cleveland. So I'm going to be different. I'll take Indianapolis. Ooh, I think I think Cleveland peaked last week.
Okay.
Got the next 1 o'clock game. We got the, I guess I'll go by your sheet there. We got the Lions and the Ravens.
Ooh, it's gonna be a good one.
Ravens offense is broke. That offense is something's wrong with it.
You know what? Nah, I'm rocking the hat, man. I'm mm-hmm. rocking Detroit. Lions.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say you done made your pick about 5 minutes ago when you put that hat on. You gonna ditch them already?
Ravens, listen. Detroit. Let's just go with Detroit. I'm going with Detroit. Don't need my phone yelling at me.
I'll just take Detroit too. MCDC all day.
I was gonna go with Detroit too.
Nice.
Kevin's taking Baltimore.
Okay, I'm taking Baltimore.
Yes, sir. All right, where are we at? Next 1 o'clock, we got Buffalo at New England. And I love saying this, but New England fuckets.
Is it the Brian Hoyer show? Is that where we're at now? Is it Brian Hoyer now? Or is it Mac Jones still coming back? Or there's a lot going on with
it. Don't matter. Right, that team is fucking awful.
Listen, Bills. I'm sure Cortez could speak for this too. The bar that we go to, if your team beats the Patriots and you only play them once a year, you've got bragging rights the entire year. There ain't nothing they can say to you. Well, yeah. I'm going to go with Buffalo too.
Yeah, I'm going to ride Buffalo. That's an easy one. Kevin also went with Buffalo. All right, next we got the Washington Commanders versus the New York Giants. You already know who I'm taking, so I'm not even going to go.
Your boy's got a chance here, Paul. I'm rocking with him. I'm going with the Giants. They got a chance there at home. I'm giving you a little bit of optimistic faith here. G-Man going to pull it out.
I'm going Washington.
Brad says, screw your football team.
Kevin's also going with New York as well. So we got the most people that's picked the Giants all season. So, hey, man, it is what it is. We can all go down. We can all go down a fiery mess together. It's fine. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons at Tampa Bay.
I'm going to say they're going to be firing them cannons a lot that day.
Tampa Bay bounces back. They bounce back. Desmond Ridder, is he still starting?
I think so.
I think so.
All right, well.
They got Kyle Pitts involved a little bit last week. It was good to see Kyle Pitts making plays.
It's about damn time.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Free Kyle Pitts.
Dude's a freak of nature, man. Come on, man. Jesus.
I'm taking Tampa.
Brad, you already chose Tampa? Or?
Yeah, I'm going with Tampa.
Okay, Kevin also chose?
Kevin also got Tampa.
All right,
next up, 4 o'clock, the Pittsburgh Steelers at Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh, this is actually a good one here. This will be a good game. Let's see. Steelers, Rams. Rams, listen, Steelers got a bye week. They'll get the win here. I got Steelers.
I'm going Steelers. I know they have a hard time playing on the West Coast, but hopefully that bye week gave them enough time to rest up.
You shouldn't have to worry much about a run offense with the Rams. So if your pass defense is good, you should be okay. But I'm still going to take the Rams. They were my pick to win that division. So I'm going to take the Los Angeles Rams in a squeaker. All right, next up, the Arizona Cardinals versus the Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks bounces back.
Seahawks. Josh Dobbs Seahawks. A rocket scientist now. Don't you forget it.
Ah, I'm an assaulted man like that.
But if I, if what I heard earlier today is correct, and they're talking about Buda Baker and Kyler coming back, I'm going to still take Seattle.
Yeah, it's Seattle. It's Seattle's game to lose. Seattle at home. 12 man.
Yeah, you got 12 that 12 man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Seattle. Kevin also went with Seattle, so there you go. All right, we got 425. Green Bay Packers at Cortez Paul's Denver Broncos. Is it a trap, Cortez? Is it a trap?
Are you smelling the trap game?
Jordan Love has been kind of suspect since the first game. There's been a lot of rumors.
Too much at the barbecue, I think.
Yeah. But listen, I'm going to tell you this. There's been rumors swirling around from Pat McAfee talking about that Vance Joseph might get replaced for Rex Ryan here and during the season for defensive coordinator. Back on topic, though, we need some kind of change. We need some kind of woken up, build up the assets. Hey, we're a mile high. Go Broncos. They'll find a way to win. And then I come on the show disappointed next week and complain again. But go Broncos.
Kevin took the Broncos. So you and Kevin. You and
yeah! My dog. Hey, Green Bay's kind of – I thought Green Bay was going to be an easy win for – like, it was – but no, they've been struggling. This is a game that can be had, but Broncos probably end up disappointing me again. Hence why I drink. So
I gotta catch you in the standings, man. So I'm gonna take Green Bay.
Oh, I'm gonna go Green Bay too.
Let's go.
All right, 2-2 split.
All right. We got the final late afternoon game. We got the Los Angeles Chargers at Kansas City Chiefs.
I think that one could get ugly. I'm going to go Chiefs.
Because you can say it, man. You can say it. The Chargers stink.
Why do I feel like this is a trap game for the Chiefs? I feel like it's a trap game for the Chiefs. And I think that somehow the Los Angeles Chargers will pull this game out. I can be incredibly stupid next week. I can be incredibly bold. But I'm going with the Chargers on this one and a surprising pick.
See, Cortez, people like you are why Justin Herbert's in so many commercials selling so many things that nobody wants. Because he does it every single Sunday for the Chargers. Nobody wants to buy that team. Nobody wants that stock.
Listen, next week I will eat like a fool or like a genius.
Oh.
But we'll see what happens. Either way, I might get laughed at pretty hard next week.
Just in case any of you are wondering, you could get Atlanta at Tampa tickets for as low as $33.
There you go.
It's a bargain.
I'm taking Kansas City. Kevin also takes Kansas City. So we got KC on KC.
I'm the long one. KC on KC. Nice.
Sunday night football. The 5-1 Miami Dolphins. First, the 5-1 Philadelphia Eagles.
This is going to be a game. Holy crap, I'm glad it's on primetime, too. This is going to be a ball game. And I said Miami's got to win the big one. They got to win the big one. And I think they do. Close contest. Miami's going to win this game. Dolphins will win this game.
I'm sure Mike McDaniels watches this show. He saw you ranked his team at 5. He's gonna come out and show you something.
Absolutely.
I know if Mike McDaniels, he's long time listener, first time caller. He's gonna call in next week and let you know. Cortez, you're crazy.
My guy. And hey, he's gonna be like, next time I see your bro, I'm gonna beat him 71-20.
That's right. He spared your soul, bro. My decision is easy. I'm a Giants fan, so fuck Philly. I'm gonna take Miami Dolphins.
Oh, I'm going to go Miami. I think Tua's going to make his statement game.
All right. Who KC pick?
Kevin's also on Miami.
Ooh, full house on Miami.
That's it.
Nice.
I'm gonna send the Eagles a nice fucking sack of candy corn.
Paul, introduce this next game, and then do what you usually do before we start talking. Do what you do before we start talking.
The San Francisco 49ers, 8:15 Monday Night Football at the Minnesota Vikings, who absolutely fucking stink.
Listen, I don't know about that. Their tickets their tickets are $26 more as the lowest ticket than Atlanta at Tampa.
That's what fine.
But they got nothing better to do in Minnesota. They freeze up there.
And at least it's indoor too.
Yeah, true. But listen, to echo Paul's statements, and I'm saying it because I watch sucky football, the Minnesota Vikings absolutely freaking stinks. They are bad.
You finna play a
pissed off 49ers team. Good luck. Good luck. Well, 49ers, by the way.
And just so we're clear, no one has to watch that pathetic Carolina football team play this weekend because they are on the bye.
The only team that Denver Broncos are buried in is the Carolina Panthers.
And the Panthers still lost even during the bye week.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What? Well, I think Kevin went with San Francisco. I'm taking San Francisco. Vikings stink. Right. Trade Kirk Cousins.
All right. So I got another video here. I'm going to jump topics here, and then we're close to closing here. Let me see if I can pull this bad boy up. Because I had at the stage. There we go. All right. So let's watch this video, which I'm sure we all have seen, and StreamYard doesn't want to add to the stage, but eventually we'll get there.
Loading.
Oh, the video's choppy. But this freak of nature got 7'4". Dumped on this poor guy.
Right over the shoulder of Thomas Bryant now. Thank you.
Classic. Don't see it there. But anyways, listen, we got on discussion about this guy, Brad. So tell me your thoughts about Victor Wembanyama. And that freaking dunk, and that human being that is just unreal.
Well, considering when he caught the ball, his hand was about my height away from the rim, and he could still throw it through. That's pretty impressive.
Do you agree with Thomas Brown's reaction? I couldn't get it in there because the video was choppy, but he looked at the crowd and shot. Thomas Brown's a big dude himself.
It was almost as good of a reaction as the bald eagle coming in for the dunk over the Warriors in the playoff that one year.
That's his offhand too, right? He's not left-handed.
That's his offhand, yeah. Paul, freak of nature, huh?
I already told you, the guy's like 8'12", man. The guy's like literally the tallest, longest dude I ever seen. He could have dunked that ball from the 3-point line. I know it's the preseason and it's on Thomas Bryant's head, but you put him in the middle of the season against a guy that's going to knock him on his butt. I think it's a different story, but the athleticism of that guy between the layup he did last week and then just getting a rebound, going with his left, just dunking from 15 feet away from the hoop. I mean, that guy might be Stretch Armstrong. I don't know if his arm, he's like Michael Jordan in Space Jam. His arm just like grew to dunk it in the hoop. Like it's wild. It's crazy, man. Basketball season is going to be wild.
He's literally a creative player.
Oh, literally. Oh yeah. He's that build that no one likes.
And just Tom Brown reaction was just, listen, I get it. I would have ran the other way. Like, you can have the 2 points, bro. You ain't dunking on me, man. I'm sorry. But then it would have been too late. I'll bet I'm 5'11" and Thomas Bryant's like 6'9". So I can't really.
So, you ain't defending yourself in that position.
No. That dude is Too long.
Wemby can dunk it from the bench.
Oh my gosh. All right, one more topic and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. So the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, approves 5 sports being added to the Los Angeles Games in 2028. Baseball and softball, lacrosse, cricket, squash, and flag football. Now, I do have a baseball fanatic, someone that used to play the game on the podcast, and Mr. Brad Renner. So I'm going to turn it forward to him. And then also your thoughts about flag football being added, sir.
I am always excited about baseball. I think it's a good opportunity that they let some of these, you know, well, it just depends on if these like NCAA and MLB are going to give these guys the opportunity to go over there, or if they're going to be like they always are and we get the best of the minor league baseball. But flag football, bro, could you imagine if the NFL said, you guys, oh, you guys want to play flag football? Go play flag football. And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, who do you want him to throw it to on the outside? He got his pick. Yeah, everybody's just running straight fly routes the entire game. I'm going to call hike. I'm going to throw it as far as I can. I know one of you's going to get there.
Paul, your thoughts about flag football being added?
Well, first, if Olympic baseball can be half of what the World Baseball Classic was, I'm in. Because that was just electric baseball. The best of the best, representing their countries, going up against each other. And it was incredible. So, I mean, if Olympic baseball's that way, and it only happens every so many years, so, like, more people can probably participate because it's not a thing you're doing in the off seasons and stuff like that. So that's an exciting concept. As far as flag football goes, you don't even need NFL players. There are plenty of kids, I'm sure, where I grew up, where Cortez grew up, that can literally – They were all stars in high school and never made it through college to the NFL. But you give them a football in their hands and good luck trying to get them. We're out here in Florida, man. We're in the football capital of the world. We got plenty of guys that you can just throw up on a strap some flags around their waist, put them on a field, and say, hey, try to get me. Hopefully they don't drug test anybody, but it's fine.
I know. See, y'all have more luxuries down here growing up. I grew up in the Midwest in Southern Illinois, where, I mean, sports, it was slim pickings.
I'm surprised like pickleball is not a Olympic sport yet, because that's blowing up among us whites.
That is massive. Oh,
yeah. Definitely. I bet it's coming for sure.
Us whites love us some pickleball.
What you mean, you people?
Hey, listen.
All right. My 2 cents. Listen, baseball, because it's so internationally known and played with a lot of international players, I'm surprised that it took this long to add to the IOC, the committee, to approve that. That should have been, like, in rotation. Baseball should have been here already. So I'm just shocked that now it's just getting approved in 2028. I don't know, because they want to interfere with the World Baseball Classics, but basketball's got FIBA. Soccer's got, you know, FIFA, like, they got all these different leagues that they're playing, and they're still playing for the Olympics. So it should have already been taking place. Flag football, however, I know y'all mentioned Patrick Mahomes. I will pay top dollar to see someone try to guard Tyreek Hill on the flat, and they just go dive face first and just try to just get the flag. It's not happening. You're not catching that guy. So if they do let the NFL players play, because listen, at the end of the day, it's cool to get a gold medal. So it'd be cool for them to get. But man, seeing someone try to guard Tyreek Hill and just it's just not going to happen.
But you also couldn't use NFL guys, because where are most NFL players from? Like, there's not a lot of guys that are from other countries that are in the NFL. It's not a global league like the NBA or the MLB is. So it's got to be just whoever.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. With that, it's going to add exposure, and hopefully NFL's been doing a great job. They caught onto the game late, getting into, you know, the London games and going international and play football. This can only help NFL in a sense where they should have been trying to market the game across the world, like NBA and soccer has done and baseball has done pretty well with it. This is NFL should have been did this. They still are number one in the nation as far as the most watched sport. So this can only really just help the game of football as far as trying to get some kids. So listen, you'll find someone over there. We still got some good players in the NFL. That's from, you know, across the way. So,
well, baseball's making its reappearance. It was in the Olympics there.
Oh, was it?
1992 to 2008.
Huh. I need to look at why they took it away, but that's good. I did not know it was there. Okay.
Yep. It made its debut in 1992, 96, 2004, and 2008 was the last year that baseball was in the Olympics.
Ah, gotcha. All right. Well, hey, got to have it back. They got so many international players going there. So salute to that, man. See,
I think maybe like you guys were saying, the baseball classic, you know, maybe it sparked enough interest that, hey, you know, we could do this on the off years.
You know what? Before I said that, I should have just asked a baseball guy. Brad would have known. The sport I really don't watch that much. I should have got your intake for sure.
But well, hey, listen, you got the basketball. I got the baseball.
My guy. And Paul got football.
I'm just a big fan. I'm just a big fan of my country's better than your country. And I'm going to show you it. I'm going to show you in every way humanly possible. Even if we're wrong, we're still going to try.
Yeah, unfortunately in basketball, that's not the case, but we'll be back with the A-team.
That team didn't count. Yeah, this is what we do. We send some people over there. We give the rest of the world hope, and then we just bring the big guns in and say good luck.
All that shout-out to my boy Franz and Mo Wagner, Orlando Magic representing Germany got gold. That's the only time I really decide for another team winning gold besides USA. So I got two Magic players that represent them, so. Go Magic.
Hometown right. Love.
That's right, man. Anything else we need to add, guys? Are we good here before we wrap this bad boy up?
I don't have anything else.
All right. So, all right, guys. Make sure y'all stay tuned for myself and Paul in the upcoming week. I know we got to do a basketball preview. I'm actually having a Magic roundtable on the Balls Not Court podcast on Sunday. So, that's going to be exciting, getting a bunch of Magic fans and kicking it with them. So that's look forward to that. But as usual, Paul, plug in your socials. Give me your X name.
On X at @the_Paul_Mac on Instagram, thepaulmac520. If you like pictures, I post pictures on there, mostly of my dog and stuff I'm drinking. So it is what it is. But, you know, X and Instagram.
That's yes, it. Sir. Mr. Renner, no socials or are you good?
To be honest, I'm so old that I don't even remember what my socials are. But the next time I'm on AOL. The show.
AOL.com.
AOL. AOL, AIM.
Back when it was dial up.
Hit him up on BlackBerry Messenger.
Exactly. Eventually, Brad will be back on the show. He'll get my
socials all lined out. But yeah, I'm pretty much like Paul. I'm not very present on the socials.
I think I honestly do more. I do more posting on the podcast page than I do my own. So
yep, he does.
I just share whatever I post. That's where all my thoughts go.
Absolutely. You can find me at @NDMinusCP on X. You can also find the podcast at BIOC Podcast on X. On Instagram, we're also at BIOC Podcast. On TikTok, we're also at BIOC Podcast. On Facebook, we're at Balls Not Court Podcast. Give us a like, comment, shout there. If you want to get us at Anchor, Spotify is anchor.fm/Cortez-Paul.
We're also on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeart, Spreaker, Windows, Anchor, Spotify, and many other sites as well.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boom. Definitely. So if you'd like to support this podcast, make sure you go to buymeacoffee.com/BLC podcast. Throw some chump change our way. Definitely help us out to definitely upgrade the show, any equipment, anything. We'd like to do some giveaways. Feel free to do so. I got some hats I need to still get rid of. So definitely contribute.
New merch coming soon. New merch coming soon.
This Absolutely.
Is a relic right here. This is
a relic.
Throwback.
Yeah.
It's a throwback. It's like those Magic jerseys that they're wearing this year.
That's right. Version 2, man. So nonetheless, hey, it was good to have Mr. Brad Renner on the show. He did it's fantastic.
Good being here.
Yes, sir. Paul Matt, usual, always kills it. And my name is Cortez Paul. This is
the And if you like candy corn, you stink.
This is the Balls Not Court podcast. This is Cortez Paul speaking for the other gentlemen on this show. Enjoy the rest of your day and happy football to week 7. Let's go.
Peace.